Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Tuesday, September 19th. We are your hosts. I'm Agnes Tiefold, and joining me today...
My name is Caroline. Good morning.
And we have some great content with you today. Caroline is our new intern here at CJSF,
right.
Doing journalism for us. And you are from Germany.
That's right. I'm from Germany, from a small town about an hour away from Cologne. And I've been with CJSF now for about a month.
Yep. Yes. And you're studying journalism
right.
back home at your university?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a remote uni. So that allows me to do things like this, which is pretty cool.
Excellent. And you're going to be with us, been with, I think, about a month now, right?
Yep.
You're going to be around for another 2 months. So we're going to be hearing a lot more from Caroline, particularly on this Tuesday show, as she'll be taking a big role in bringing you interesting interviews and lots more today. So today we have an interview with Caroline, which we're going to play in just a couple of moments. We also have some great German music that Caroline has selected, an interview on traditional Chinese medicine and bird note, and more. Tell us about this first interview we're going to be playing.
Yeah, so last Tuesday I had a chat with Gillian Clare. She is the co-producer of The Immigrants, which is a play that was performed at the Fringe Festival. And yeah, she talked to me about that. It's a one-act play by Slavomir Mrozek, which is originally published in 1974. And yeah, it takes place on a New Year's Eve in an unnamed country in the home of two immigrants. And it's basically, yeah, about their story and how immigration has affected them. Yeah, she also told me about Exact Resemblance, which is their company that they founded. It's a theater collective based in Vancouver. And yeah, it was really interesting to talk about the play. And yeah, I hope you enjoy.
All right, let's listen.
So my name is Gillian Clare. I am one of the co-founders of Exact Resemblance, a theater company based here in Vancouver. And I'm one of the co-producers of The Emigrants, which is playing now at the Vancouver Fringe Festival and will be playing at the Stand Festival in North Van in November.
Sounds great. You mentioned your company, Exact Resemblance. Maybe you can just briefly tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Exact Resemblance is a company founded by me and my friend and colleague, Cristiano Ripiano. And we were introduced through a mutual friend of ours. And the three of us were going to do a play. And that fell through. But Cristiana and I, we hit it off. And we wanted to make work together. And we are aligned in sort of our values and our artistic values as well. So that's how our company started. Mm-hmm. We chose the name Exact Resemblance because it is a Gertrude Stein quote. And Gertrude Stein was an American author living in Paris in the interwar period. She was a contemporary of Picasso and Ernest Hemingway. And we liked her sort of iconoclast attitude. We liked that she was a woman, and we liked the irony of her phrase, Exact Resemblance.
Yeah, well, that's a cool story for the name. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. And you already mentioned you doing the play called The Emigrants, mm-hmm. Which you kindly invited me to see, which was really cool. Thank you again.
Thank you for coming.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. What's the play about?
So the play is about two emigrants living in a windowless basement in an unnamed democratic country. The story focuses on how their lives have been uprooted and how they are trying to make their way in a new place. Mm-hmm. They have no names. They have no state. They only have each other and the play follows how that dynamic and their relationship evolves over the course of one explosive New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And what made you want to be part of that? What made you want to produce?
So this play had already kind of been in the works before I came on board. Christiana, our director, and our two actors, Jacob Mason and Akshay Patanayak, had met each other on a previous project. And the three of them really got along, and all three of them are immigrant artists. So they grew up elsewhere and are now calling Vancouver their home. And they bonded over the challenges that the three of them had faced being newcomers to Canada and also being theater artists. In a city that isn't known for its theater. So the three of them had talked about doing a play together, and Christiana had this play sort of in her back pocket for a long time and thought that it would suit the two actors really well. And they read it, they liked it, they wanted to do it. And because Christiana and I had started working together, she said, "Do you want to jump on as co-producer?" And given the talent of the actors, and I mean, Christiana as a director is just phenomenal. I'm an actor as well, and just seeing her work with actors is, yeah, she is something special. So given the merit of the text and the talent of the artistic team, I said, yes, I want to co-produce this play because it's really something that I want to see.
Yeah, it's really, like, I got to see it, and it's really special. I feel like it provokes definitely a lot of empathy, and you really feel for the actors.
Yeah.
And I guess the audience did too, at least that's what I took away from it, which was really fun to watch. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And the playwright is from 1974, I believe. That's correct. Why do you think it's still so relevant?
We have this expression called plus ça change in French. The more things change, the more they stay the same is the idea. And I think the idea of moving to a new place, feeling out of place, mm-hmm. Is something that is very human, and it has happened over and over again throughout history. And I think when that play was written, the world was at a really interesting point. The playwright was Polish, and he had been living in exile in France because he was so critical of the communist state back home. Mm-hmm. I think we're at a sort of similar point in history where the world is sort of at a breaking point. It's very divided, mm-hmm. And it's sort of this ideological battle is kind of coming up to the surface again. So I think the tension that Mrazek, the playwright, captures in this text is very relevant to not just Canada, but to the world right now.
Yeah, definitely. And you said you kind of jumped onto production, but maybe you can still tell us a little bit about what the process is like to bring a play like this to life in a way.
Yeah, no, I'd love to tell you about that. So every production process is a little bit different, but how this project came about is they had chosen this play. Three core artists had decided to work together. And then they threw their names in the hat for the Fringe Festival. So the Fringe Festival, the way you get into that is through lottery. So a bunch of people submit, and then they pull names out of a hat, essentially. And so they got into this Fringe Festival. And so from there, it's putting a bit of money into rehearsal spaces, acquiring the rights, right? You need to get permission to perform a play like this. So those sort of logistical things. And then you jump into the rehearsal period. So they had started with a lot of table work. When we say table work, it's actors, directors, whoever else is on the creative team sitting at a table and going through the play, and you break it down into beats. So the play is just one long two-person play, and the director will prepare well in advance. There's tons of preparation that goes into directing. So the director will prepare in advance how that text is going to break down and what is actually happening in each individual moment, and how those moments add up to the bigger story. So they start with that table work, breaking it down, understanding their characters' motivations, what their characters want, how their character is experiencing each moment, mm-hmm. so that when you jump into the actual rehearsal room, you are all on the same page as to what is actually going on. And then once the rehearsal process starts, you're working with the text on its feet. So how the actors are moving in the space, how they're interacting with each other, if there are certain logistical things that need to be worked out, like mm-hmm. how a lighter gets from point A to point B, or when you have to go and prepare the tea so that it is ready by a point later on. Mm-hmm. So all that is worked out. And then also like the emotional truth really is what right. deepens over the course of the rehearsal period. They had about 2.5 weeks of rehearsal, full-time rehearsal before the show went up.
Wow. So what would you say were the most difficult scenes to rehearse?
I'd say the beginning and the end. Okay. The beginning of Rajak's play is tricky because it is a tonal shift, I would say, mm-hmm. from regular everyday discourse. So we in contemporary life talk and behave a certain way, and Mrazek's play is definitely not that. Okay. He was known for his satire and for his absurdist style. Mm-hmm. So I think navigating that tone of text is mm-hmm. tricky, and also being aware that the audience is just walking in from their everyday lives coming into the theater. And so how do we hook them? How do we get them mm-hmm. attuned to the tone and the style of this text?
Right.
Which I think is very unique. So that was tricky. And then also the end, you know, this play has to land in a certain place, and making sure that the actors know, feel like they have ownership over how that play lands, and having the confidence to stick that landing.
Right, yeah. So did you change the playwright at all, or do you completely stick to it?
It is pretty much the original. Yeah. There were a few cuts that were made mm-hmm. that we with the Mrazek estate to do mm-hmm. At a 75-minute time limit. And the play is longer than that, so it was trimmed down. But other than that, it is quite close to the original. The mm-hmm. original was written in Polish, okay. so this is a translation. Right. So we used the translation that they had, that the publishing house had, and then it was trimmed down a little bit. But mm-hmm. It is quite close to the original, and it's amazing how contemporary some of the moments feel. It seems like it's been modernized, but it hasn't yeah. been.
It really does, yeah. And what stuck out to me was one of the actors were already on stage when right. the audience was like let into the room. I don't know much about theater, but like that was something that really, I don't know, stuck out to me. Was that on purpose, or is that
I'd love to know. So what stuck out to you, just because it's not something you've seen before?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like hard to tell, like, when does it actually begin? Like, is it beginning right when you come into the room? Because it sort of felt like that.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Oh, that's so cool that you had that reaction. So that was a choice that our director made. We wanted to suggest the idea that so this one character is a political refugee, mm-hmm. and he is always in this basement. He never leaves. And so we wanted to suggest that mm-hmm. right from the beginning. I think it kind of breaks the illusion if you see an actor enter the space. You go, oh, well, he can leave at any point. Mm-hmm. But if you walk in and he's already there, yeah. it suggests the idea that he has always been there.
Definitely.
And cannot leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That really, stuck out to me. Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the cast. Why did you? I mean, you already mentioned a little bit about that, but yeah, maybe you can get into like the casting progress, yeah. maybe.
Yeah. So typically for theater, you normally don't start with a cast. So So it's normally, you know, in regular theater companies, they would pick the play, pick the director maybe, or the director would come in and suggest a play. And then you would do a casting process. So you would hold auditions, then the people that you like would come back. You'd bring them back for what's called a callback, maybe, you know, do a scene with them, work on a scene, and the director would be in the room with them. And then you'd have your final casting. So this started the opposite direction. So we had the director, we had our cast, then we found the play.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, Christiana really wanted to work with these two. They have a great dynamic with each other. And they're also very different as actors, which really suits the characters. You need that tension of how different they are. You've got these two opposites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Living, forced to be in the same room as each other at all times.
Yeah.
So that makes for exciting theater, we think, right? It makes it exciting because anything can happen at any point. And these two actors were really able to capture that.
Mm-hmm. And you already mentioned Christina. She's the director.
Yes, Christina.
How long did it take you to actually put that play together, and what was it like working together?
Okay, so they had met each other, like the three core artists had met each other in 2021. So they had been in talks about this play for a long time. We found out that we would be in the Fringe Festival in February.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, it was acquiring the rights, getting some booking down, locking down some rehearsal space, and then jumping into rehearsal. So the rehearsal, the early days of rehearsal, so they did some table work in sort of late June, early July.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went on hiatus, and then in August picked up rehearsals. But all through that time, I mean, the production stuff is still happening. So you're finding a sound designer in our case, mm-hmm. you're locating set pieces, you're acquiring props, you're designing like the pre-show music, costuming, all that stuff, lighting design is all happening mm-hmm. during that process. So we've got a lot of different things happening all at once.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, starting our marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And trying to sell tickets.
Cool. Sounds great. And genuinely speaking, what would you like the audience to take away from that play?
So I think this is twofold. So like I mentioned, the creative team, the core artists are all immigrants themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This play really spoke to them and what they had experienced. So I hope for the audience goers who have experienced immigration that they see their experiences reflective. We've had some really amazing feedback. And it seems like that it has rung true for the people who have gone through that. On the other side, I am not an immigrant, so mm-hmm. I don't have any firsthand experience with that. But this is Canada.
Yeah.
We all are influenced or touched by immigration some way or another. And if it's not your grandparents, it's your parents or other family members, mm-hmm. your coworkers, your friends, right?
Yeah.
So I think for me, seeing this play, it's giving you a glimpse into what that would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think theater is one of the closest things we can come to experiencing something that we haven't experienced ourselves. So I'm hoping for the non-immigrant audience that they come away with a little bit more of an understanding. And we're not trying to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're not trying to teach anyone, just suggesting something of maybe this is what they've gone through. And I've been lucky enough to see this play grow from the sort of early days into now we're going into our fourth performance tonight, see it deepen. And every time I see it, I do get a little bit more about what they are going through. I hope it rings true for everybody coming to see whether you've experienced immigration yourself.
Yeah, like I'm from Germany, and
okay.
I'm visiting Canada for only 3 months, so I don't want to compare myself to an actual immigrant, or you know, my situation is very different to that. But still, when in the play, when they were talking about like the homesickness and all that, it's something that you relate to, right? And that you can really feel for them. I mean, again, their situation is very different in terms that they don't really have a home to get back to, which I can only imagine what that's like. But also here in Canada, I'm staying with a host mom and she's from the Philippines. You know, she tells me a lot of stories from her hometown and what it was like. And that was, you know, always so interesting, but it's so touching. And you can really tell she's been through a lot. And yeah, and I feel like that play just really does great on showing that side of immigration.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to us that it is ringing true. Thank you.
Yeah. So what's next for your company and maybe the play?
Yeah, we're so excited. So we've got lots of exciting things coming up. So the play has been picked up by the Stand Festival, which is a festival put on by Blackout Theatre. They are a theatre located in North Vancouver. But this festival takes place all across the Lower Mainland in November. And it is a festival. It is a live performance festival celebrating immigrant and refugee artists. So all of the acts will be immigrant and refugee artists created. So that's happening in November. Our performance is on November 11th. And we are performing at the Presentation House in North Vancouver. And we have another play coming up. So our second play is coming up in February. And that is a play called Constellations. Mm-hmm. I will be acting in that one.
Oh, cool.
Yes, yeah. And it is a gorgeous, gorgeous play. It is a love story that plays out across different universes. And it really captures that feeling of that wondering, you know, what would my life have been like if I had taken one choice instead of the other?
Oh, wow.
It is funny, moving, poignant, and I'm so excited to share it. So that our first preview will actually be on Valentine's Day, on February 14th. So that'll be playing at Studio 16, which is on Granville and 6th in Vancouver.
Great. Sounds very good.
Thank you.
And how can people reach out and maybe see one? I think The Immigrant, it's not on for...
No. So if you want to see it, you got to go. We have a show tonight, so September 12th at 8:45 p.m. And that is at The Nest on Granville Island. If you make your way to Granville Island, there's tons of fringe stuff going on, so they'll be able to direct you to The Nest space. So that's tonight at 8:45. You can get tickets through the Fringe website or through our website. So we have a show tonight, 8:45, Friday at 10:15 p.m. for any night owls out there. And then our final show will be on Sunday, September 17th at 6:15 p.m. So tickets, again, are through the Fringe website. You can find more about us at our website, exactresemblance.com. You can follow us on Instagram, where we share a lot of updates, and also on Facebook, if there's anyone who still goes on Facebook.
Okay, amazing. Well, I think everyone should definitely take a look at it. It's a really great piece of work.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Again, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to see what comes next for you.
And
thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. Have a good one. Thanks. And we'll see you later.
So, yeah, that was an interview with Jillian Clare, who is part of a Vancouver-based theater collective. And they just finished their last show at the Fringe Festival. She actually texted me and said they sold out their last show, which is really cool. You will have a chance to see the play again in November. And as she mentioned, there's also another play coming up in February.
Yeah, and you can find them online at Exact. Just Google Exact Resemblance or Exact Resemblance Collective to find more about their website and their socials. And more information about their upcoming shows. They sound like a really active group.
Yeah, they are. It's really cool that they...
Excellent. And the Fringe Festival just finished up on Sunday, but it'll be back next year in September. Often they'll do a Best of the Fringe, and some of the plays will come back. So have a look at the Fringe website for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at the weather coming up over the next, week or so. Today, it's going to be cloudy with showery, rainy periods. Chance of showers 30% through the day, highs up to 18. Getting a little better tomorrow with sun and cloud, highs around 17. Clears right up on Thursday and Friday. And then, of course, the rain is back for the weekend. With rain, it's calling for clouds and rain Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So all that's our weather for this week. If you want to get out, you got best to do it in the next couple of days because that's when the weather's going to be nice. And who doesn't like a nice, clear, sunny fall day?
Right, exactly. The first song I want to play for you today is by a German artist called Berg. He's relatively new to the music scene, but I think he has a very unique style, and I want to show you a song today, which is called Rote Flaggen. Hope you enjoy.
Deine Auffahrt stehen unter rote Flaggen, die ich sehe. Drum komm und geh ich immer nur bei Nacht, weil ich so nichts in Farbe sehe und verdrängt tut alles nur halb so deutlich. Aber wenn der Sonnenaufgang am Morgen Licht ins Dunkel bringt und mich neben mir die nackte Wahrheit im Bett in die Knie zwingt. Sein, dass wir uns halten, wenn ohne einander doch gar nicht gefallen. Sind wir noch für eine Rechnung, nur unsere leere Versprechung. Irgendwann versuchen wir es, doch irgendwann kam viel zu schnell. Dass wir's nicht sind und warten auf, dass der andere den Step macht. Den einzigen Step, den ich gehe, ist heute leider wie das Feld auf dein Haus. In deiner Auffahrt stehen 100 rote Flaggen, die ich seh. Drum komm und geh ich immer nur bei Nacht, weil ich so nichts in Farbe seh und verdrängt tut alles nur halb so doll weh. Aber wenn der Sonnenaufgang am Morgen Licht ins Dunkel bringt und mich neben dir die nackte Wahrheit und Welt in die Knie zwingt. Vor deinem Haus, ein Angriff wird vor deinem Klingelschild in deiner Haustür sehen. Spiegelbild, bin er sich oder nicht? Und bin ich das nicht? Wo bin ich dann verloren gegangen? Bin ich vielleicht schon vorgegangen? Find ich mich nur, wenn ich dich verliere? Find ich mich nur, wenn ich dich verliere? Deine Auffahrt stehen 100 rote Flaggen, die ich seh. Drum komm und geh ich immer nur bei Nacht, weil ich so nichts in Farbe seh und verdrängt tut alles nur halb.